3A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, we provided you with a set of materials on SJR 3, which includes a copy of the bill, fiscal impact statement, a revenue impact statement, a staff letter summary from the Revenue Senate Finance and Revenue Committee, and a bill history. Basically, Senate Joint Resolution 3 proposes an amendment to the Constitution to eliminate the surplus kicker refund and deposit that amount into a rainy day savings account. It refers this proposed amendment to the Constitution to the people for approval in an election, special election to be held on May 15, 2007. For those of you that are on the full Ways and Means Committee, last Friday, one of the companion bills to SJR 3, Senate Bill 549, was passed out by the full Ways and Means Committee. And that bill is the one that sets the date and includes the ballot measure title, explanatory statement, financial impact statement.
Thank you very much. And I think what I'll do is we have three people signed up for public testimony. I'm going to, you know, obviously we've had quite lengthy discussions, especially yesterday in the House, so I'm going to try to keep things brief. So I'm going to first call up Jack Isselman, who is in support of SJR3, and I think I see him right there, Mr. Isselman.
Okay.
He's going to be concise and to the point, as he always is.
Right, of course.
Yeah, I'm using software to rewrite my testimony today. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jack Isselman, Tonkin Torp. I appear today on behalf of the Software Association of Oregon. We are Oregon's largest local technology trade association with nearly 600 member companies of all sizes, ranging from software developers to information technology professionals to device and electronics manufacturers. I'll refer the committee to our testimony on these two measures before the Senate Revenue Committee on February 1st, 2006. Briefly, I'll just state for the benefit of the committee here today, SAO, the Software Association of Oregon, is a more recent entrant into the field of public advocacy. One of the first activities we took was to stand with other business associations across the state last November in working toward the defeat of ballot measures 41 and 48 that would have greatly curtailed Oregon's ability to invest in the future of our state's economy. It makes little sense to oppose arbitrary spending limits on state government and yet support a public finance structure that inhibits the state's ability to create an adequately capitalized reserve fund. Our executives were polled on this, and when they were, they more than 70% of them told us they supported the redirection of 2007's corporate kicker payout into a rainy day fund. Perhaps more profoundly, and to the bills before this committee today, in excess of 70% of the same group of our members supported removal of the corporate kicker from the Oregon Constitution. We know it's somewhat uncommon for representatives of business associations to appear before you to advocate to refer a measure to the ballot that potentially could cost our members money. But SAO members have spoken, and the message is clear. Keep the taxes that they have paid you, save it, and then most importantly, spend it only in case of a true emergency, the type of emergency that's described in the resolutions that are before this committee today. Thank you for your time. I'm pleased to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Representative Morgan.
Thank you. Just very quickly, thank you very much for coming and talking to us, Mr. Isselman. Of the 600 members that you have, how many of them are C-Corps?
33% are C-Corporations. Representative Morgan, Chair DeLizio.
And is it fair for us to assume that they are represented in that 70% of support?
Yes. Although they were not required as part of the survey to indicate, they indicated their formation. So I should say that 33% figure I just said, as I read this back, 33% of the respondents to the survey were C corporations. I don't have in front of me of our total membership how many are C corporations. But 33% of the respondents to the survey that I just indicated to you were C corporations.
But you don't have any correlation of how many of those C corps voted in favor of having their kicker taken away?
It was 33% of a response group that was approximately 11% of our membership, so about 65 respondents. 33% of those 65 were C corporations.
Thank you. Question?
Thank you. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Isselman, in your survey, did you indicate to your members that Oregon is the only state in the entire country to have a kicker?
Chair Glazio, Senator Walker, no, that question was not posed to our members.
Well, thank you. They didn't have the benefit of that knowledge, and I think you might have gotten greater than a 70% response.
Thank you so much. No further questions? Thank you, Mr. Isselman. Really appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I'd like to call Roy Wimmer Whalen from the Oregon Education Association.
I'm a freshman, I'll handle it.
We already got you on that yesterday, so.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For your record, Lori Wimmer Whalen of the Oregon Education Association, representing 46,000 members in community colleges and K-12 institutions in Oregon. And we're here today to support the bills before you. We believe that it's high time for Oregon to have sufficient reserving. We acknowledge that the Education Stability Fund was created legislatively through the referral to the ballot back in 2002, but that's just 5%, and it's our understanding that reserving is better if it's in the 10 to 15% range. And given some of the number crunching I've heard from others who've looked at what the next economic downturn might look like with respect to revenue losses, we are here to echo the wise words of many others when we say that we need to have a substantially greater level of reserving if we're going to truly be able to buffer against the next economic downturn. We've long supported efforts to do this, and so it shouldn't come as any surprise to you that we are doing it again. I'd like to note for your information, I included two things to my testimony. One of them is an article that was printed in the Oregonian that covered a presentation made by Dr. Richard Sims, who's an economist that came to Oregon. For those of you who are on the revenue committees, you remember he came and talked about the quiver kicker and also investing in public education and other services as an economic stimulus tool, not just as a human investment, but rather as an economic investment. And then the Oregonian followed a couple days later with respect to his remarks about the kicker and their zero contribution to the economy. So I included both of those pieces to remind you that this is not just good fiscal management for the sake of running public services. It also helps the economy when we are able to maybe avoid the kinds of cuts we suffered in the last downturn. I'll remind you again that for K-12, we lost $1.2 billion in the last 7 years, which is nearly $1,800 a student. And so we're hopeful that that won't have to happen. We have a lot of talk in the building about education's funding stability. One way to do that is to completely reform your tax system, but absent the will to do that, another way to get stability is to have sufficient reserving. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, to my note to you, Representative Barnhart. Not yes. Okay.
Yes,
if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wimmer-Whalen. I really appreciate it. All right, Marcia Kelly.
I would say more on this, Kelly,
but all I have is your name. So,
That's okay.
Chair Galizio and members of the subcommittee, AUW of Oregon and our 2,000 members wish to go on record in support of elimination. And my name is Marcia Kelly. I'm sorry. I wrote the Marcia Kelly.
Right, and what the organization?
American Association of University Women of Oregon.
Thank you.
We are 125 years old as far as the association. We have branches in Oregon that are 100 years old. Our membership is made up of people who have graduated with either an associate or higher degree from colleges and universities of higher education. We aren't university staff people. We want to hold record in support of the elimination of the corporate kicker and the establishment of the Rainy Day Fund. We feel that this is just a start to what should be in the next 2 years, a real discussion of tax reform and or tax realignment in Oregon. As many of you know, our tax system is intertwined. What happens or does not happen on the state level affects our communities. If the state is forced to make cuts in crucial services, that effect is felt in all parts of the state. Small children in Pendleton suffer when we reduce Head Start funding, which we have done. But not only do the children suffer, the citizens are affected because the dollars that fund that program are spent in Pendleton. So a rainy day fund might help in the loss of dollars spent in the local area, and that helps the local economy stay more stable. We need to view our state budget and spending in relationship to all of the resources we need to serve our citizens, and that's why this should only be a first step. In 1990, with the passage of Measure 5, the shared cost of educating our children has flip-flopped. Before Measure 5, about 75% of the funding for education was at the local level, and we all know the state is now picking up about 75%. What we don't talk about and what I don't hear in this discussion is the spending power of the cap that came in with ballot measure 5. Local education is capped at $5 per thousand. That $5 in 1991 bought $5 worth of services. In 2007, it would cost, and it does cost, the schools $7.52 to buy the same services because of inflation. Inflation has been 50.38% since 1991, according to the inflation calculator. This does not only affect school districts, and this is why we're encouraging a whole discussion on tax reform and having this as one of the first elements. For our partners, the cities, the counties, and the special districts, we're capped at $10. We're going to sort of start seeing an implosion, and I believe we've been seeing it with the counties with their loss of the federal timber money, because the $10 that all local governments have to spend per thousand on property taxes, now to get that same $10 worth of service, you have to spend $15. I know this. I serve on, as an elected official, on a special district board, and what the cap has done to our ability to serve the citizens in our area is fairly dramatic. We think we need a systematic look at the tax system, so we're encouraging you to put this on the ballot and encouraging you to use this not only as a discussion on the corporate kicker, but as a discussion about the way we fund all of our intertwined programs, cities, counties, special districts in Oregon, and start the tax reform, tax realignment discussion now. This could be a good tool to start that discussion.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kelly. Questions for Ms. Kelly? Fantastic. Thank you very much for testifying today.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Okay, so that's all I had signed up. So now I'm going to... Arthur Towers?
I'd like to testify.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You know, you're not on the list. I'll let you come on. Mr. Towers.
Chair Galizio, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Arthur Towers, political director for
serve as employees of International Union Local 503. We represent about 40,000 frontline workers, state employees, caregivers for the elderly and disabled, child care providers, nursing home workers, and local government employees. And I simply wanted to get on the record our organization's support for the two proposals you have before you today. Our members lived through the last economic downturn and saw the suffering that many Oregonians faced. School children with shorter school years, seniors getting kicked off the rolls in terms of public services, and the impact up and down throughout our communities. We strongly favor the idea of a rainy day fund and favor the idea of putting the issue on the ballot. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Towers. Are there any questions for Mr. Towers? Yes. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Okay. Don't see any more testimony. What?
Well, okay. I was shaking. Public testimony on
that. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I'm going to close the public testimony on SJR 3 and open up a work session on SJR 3. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I'll respect the chair's wishes, but what I can do is I'll put the motion in play now, and then there can be a committee discussion.
Thank you.
So at this particular point, I will move SJR 3 A and Gross to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin has moved SJR 3 A and Gross. Be reported to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion of the motion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, with all due respect to the motion and to the issue, I've been a long proponent of a rainy day fund even before the 2001 session, when it was so clearly brought to us the need to have a rainy day fund. But I think there currently are negotiations still, at least I hope they're still taking place. They were as of at least noon today on measures that were debated on the House floor this week, which failed to pass, and I believe acting on this motion is premature. I think if we can get a compromise out of those particular bills, it'll be much more effective as far as public policy in the state than a complete reversal of the kicker, which stands a relatively good chance, I think, of finding it finding difficulty at the polls. So, Mr. Chair, given that, I think I would prefer to be a no on this, and hope that we are able still to come forth with a process in this building of negotiations in a bipartisan way to move what is a worthwhile and very needed part of our state, and that is a kicker that will be adequately funded to protect us during times of severe economic downturn.
Thank you very much, Representative Jensen. Further discussion. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion in this forum. But I was here along with a number of you in the 01 session and the 03 session and all the sessions in between when we were grappling with how to deal with the services that the state offers during the recession. And I think that the referral that we did at the state to the state of Oregon, to the people of the state at that time, to take an unallocated pocket of lottery funds and rename it as the Education Stability Fund is probably the longest lasting positive impact of any of the things that we did during that session. The people of the state of Oregon saw the wisdom of putting that rainy day fund in place and they voted for it. Senate Joint Resolution 3 is, I think, fundamentally unfair. I think it goes after corporate kickers simply because it can. It is the tax the guy behind the tree mentality. And when I go back down to my district and talk to the people that have small corporations that are made up of family members with a few employees, they don't want to give up their kicker. But we aren't giving them the opportunity to have any say in it. They're going to effectively be overwhelmed. This is inequitable because it takes only the kickers from C-Corps. It doesn't take the kickers from any other kind of business entity, any other kind of business organization in the state of Oregon, because those folks all file under the umbrella of the personal income taxes. So you're singling out a small number of Oregonians and you're making them carry the burden that should be carried by all Oregonians. I think that this is a fundamental fairness issue, and I think it also is an issue around how much Oregonians trust us as their government to do things that are fair and equitable. I echo Representative Jensen's comments on the desire to see the compromise measure that's currently being worked come to the floor, and I think that that is where I would be interested in entering the discussion. And so, Mr. Chair, I also give notice that very respectfully I intend to be a no vote on this measure.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Further discussion, I think Senator Walker and then...
And then Senator Morris. Great. Mr. Chair, it's been an interesting discussion already. I dropped my own bill that would get rid of the corporate kicker, and we used this one from the Education Senate Interim Commission on Educational Excellence, on which I also served, where we had a great deal of public input. This kicker, as I mentioned earlier, is the only one of its kind in the country. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine a more terrible fiscal policy than this one. And to be respectful to my colleagues on the House, I never count on any ability to compromise in this building. I mean, it's nice to be able to do that, but if we don't send this out to the ballot and we count on us all to compromise and do the right thing, well, we could just be left without doing anything. This is bad public policy to have a corporate kicker. Clearly, the next bill that we're going to hear tells what we're going to do with it, which is smart fiscal policy. And I don't think there's anyone in Oregon who can say with a straight face that the corporate kicker is a good thing. And I don't know what polls other folks are reading, but the polls I see, Oregonians hate this measure. They hate that we have a corporate kicker where two-thirds of the money goes to out-of-state corporations who don't care about what's going on in Oregon. They don't care about this little check. It's a little check to them, but it's a big check to the state of Oregon. This is the chance to rectify bad fiscal policy, and putting it into a rainy day fund is the smart thing and the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Politics is the art of the possible, not the perfect. In the 2003 session, we passed out of the Senate a kicker reform, not a kicker repeal, but a kicker reform of both the corporate and the personal. At that time, it was supported by 62% of Oregonians statewide, rural, urban, Democrat, independent, Republican. 72% of Oregonians said the kicker does not make sense. I don't think we give citizens of this state credit for understanding what is the rational thing to do, not the emotional thing to do. This whole issue is wrapped up more in emotional discussions than it is in rational discussions. I think it's our job to separate the two and do what is rational in good fiscal policy as opposed to what is emotional. This bill does not represent what I believe is the solution with respect to this kicker issue. But again, politics is the art of the possible. It's not the art of the perfect. We all have our own perfect solutions. This is a step in the right direction. So, Mr. Chairman, colleagues, I appreciate the comments that have been made by my House colleagues, but this is a bill that is worthy of moving forward in the process. If a solution does come out of the House, it is possible to re-refer this bill back to committee and reconsider a better solution. So from that perspective, I think it's timely. Let's move this bill and do the best job we can.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had this bill in Senator Deckard's Finance and Revenue Committee, and I voted no then, and I'm going to vote no now. I had my own bill, rainy day fund bill, that makes a lot more sense than this does. This is not forced fiscal discipline in this building at all. The issue of creating a rainy day fund is one thing, but the issue of trying to fill it with something that is not, doesn't force us to do anything in this building. It's not regular. It's not consistent. It doesn't force us to save money. I don't think it's very good policy. And for those reasons, I'm going to oppose this. We can have the discussion about whether the corporate kicker itself makes any sense or not. But as a source of revenue for a rainy day fund, it makes no sense. There's no guarantee going forward that there will ever be another corporate kicker. And so it doesn't make sense to use it as a source of funding for a reserve fund when we all recognize the need to build a reserve. Most of us did live through the special sessions in 2002 and don't want to ourselves go through that, nor our legislators that are going to sit in these seats down the road as well. So I don't believe this is good public policy, and I'm going to vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very quickly, I know sometimes in other committees we've had this discussion about the tax burden that Oregonians face, and there's disagreements about what that tax burden is. But I have always clearly believed that there was a difference between the personal and the corporate kicker in one particular premise. One of those is that the personal income tax is amongst the highest in the nation. However, if you look at the corporate, it is actually sort of on average for corporate taxes. The other thing is, which is slightly different, that I've always felt was so nonsensical about the way the corporate kicker was set up, is that it's on the same 2% standard, which we have never been able to forecast corporate taxes within 2%. We either are way above or we are way below. Not saying anything disparagingly about the people that do the forecast, but I've been known to say before that the average five-year-old with the dartboard could do just as an accurate job forecasting corporate income as the state economist. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to vote, and I hope the other members of the committee are.
Yes, sir.
Representative Barnhart, final comment.
Hey, well, very, very briefly, the reality is that the state economist cannot comply with the artificial two-year budget cycle that we follow and that the Constitution requires that we follow in predicting corporate income. When you look at a decade for a period of 12 years, the state economist actually follows the trend line pretty well. It is not a dart shoot. In fact, his following the trend line works pretty well. And if you compare the six biennia that I refer to, you will see that in three of those biennia, he overshot the amount of funds that the corporate income tax would generate. And in three of the years, he undershot. When you total those numbers, you find that in total, over the 12-year period, he was almost exactly on. Which is quite good, I would say, given that he made those predictions 3 years out for the next 2-year period or thereabouts. So
The fact is that our problem with the corporate kicker is the artificial way in which we divide up time periods, and that same criticism applies to the other kicker, but that's not the subject of our discussion today. I am convinced that while we could argue about the details of this measure, these measures, this measure in particular, it is a good method of putting funds into a rainy day account. It is a good method, but there will be years in which the corporate corporate income tax does not generate the funds that the state economist thought it would. And there will be other years when it generates more funds than the state economist thought it would. I think that's inevitable. That's certainly not guaranteed, but then it isn't guaranteed the sun will come up tomorrow. It is, in fact, going to happen. There will be years, there will be biennia, when if this measure is enacted, there will be funds flowing into a rainy day account. Can I tell you exactly which ones or how much the amount will be? No. That it will happen, I think, is very clear based on past history, and there's really no question about it. I think it's also clear that those amounts are going to roughly approximate the amounts that we have to find ways of making up in down years, which, of course, is the purpose of having a rainy day account in the first place. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. So the motion, Senator Devlin's motion is on SJR 3A engrossed, be reported to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. I note objections from Senator Starr, Representative Morgan, and Representative Jensen. Are there any other objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Okay, I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 48. 8A, and I'm going to turn over to Ken Rocco.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For Senate Bill 48, you also have a packet which includes the bill, the A engrossed bill, a proposed amendment to clarify when one of the provisions of the bill takes effect, a fiscal impact statement on that proposed amendment as it affects the bill, a revenue impact statement from the Legislative Revenue Office, a staff measure summary from the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee, and a measure history. Basically, Senate Bill 48 establishes the rainy day savings account that you were just talking about in SGR 3. It requires the revenues from corporate income and excise taxes that exceed 2% of the estimate for the biennium be transferred to that account. It also requires that after the ending balance for a biennium is determined, an amount equal to 1% of the general fund appropriations for that biennium be transferred from the ending balance to the account. And it requires that if the ending balance does not equal that amount, the entire ending balance is transferred. It also establishes an education capital construction account. It sets up some requirements for triggers to be met before the rainy day savings account can be used. And it only takes effect if SGR 3, which you just discussed, is passed in the special election. And if that does occur, then this bill would take effect on the 91st day following the adjournment of this legislative assembly.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the LFO recommendation? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The comments that I would have on the Senate Bill 48 and LFO recommendation. I think the recommendation noted that this does not take effect unless the voters approve SJR 3 at the special election, whenever that special election may be. I think Senate Bill 48 is taking a critical issue, the creation of a rainy day fund, and putting it at the mercy of whatever the outcome of an election SJR 3 on SJR 3 may be. Specifically, the reason for voting against, the major reason for voting against SJR 3, because there was a way to create this account, there is a way to create this account, currently in progress, I think, in this building, and I fear that as this moves forward, if it is successful in doing so, that may jeopardize that attempt to create a rainy day fund. And it is for that reason that I will also be an O on this vote.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Jensen.
Oh, procedural question. Are we in public hearing or work session?
We're public hearing.
Okay.
Discussion. I can open a work session.
So, do we have any testimony?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a great suggestion.
Yeah,
I'm going to open up a work session.
Okay.
Opening up a work. This is what's great about experience. Opening up a work session on Senate Bill 48A. And did you want to comment on that?
Well, I'd make a motion if you need a motion first.
Okay.
Well, I'd move to pass. Is there an amendment?
Yes, there is.
To this one?
Oh,
the dash 3? What's the amendment?
A3, Senator Walker.
Okay, I move the dash A3 amendment to Senate Bill 48.
Senator Walker has moved the dash A3 to Senate Bill 48. Any objections?
It simply changes the date.
Hearing none. Motion carries.
Excuse me, my next motion is to move Senate Bill 48 as amended to the full Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. Senator Walker has moved that Senate Bill 48A, as amended, be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Yep. That too.
And you're going to take some medicine soon, I hope.
Yeah,
Are there any objections? Representative Morris, your chair.
Again, Mr. Chair, very respectfully, I think that there are some strengths in this bill. I like the fact that there is an amendment going into it that makes it applicable to the current biennium. But I also think that it is very unfair and very inequitable that we are relying on the corporations for some forced largesse here. And I would rather not, I am opposed to it on that basis. So I'll be a no vote on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Representative Senator.
I've already made this motion.
Okay. Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 48, again, is another bill that we had in the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee, and working in a bipartisan fashion with Senator Deckard, there's specific items in this bill that really appeal to me and really were suggestions that I made to Senator Deckard. It's not perfect. It's not exactly how I would draft it. But I supported it in the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. I've supported here. Again, it does rely upon a yes vote of the voters on SGR 3, which I oppose. And I'm not convinced that the voters will actually approve SGR 3 if it makes it through the ballot. But as Senator Moore said something about not letting the cook get in the way of the good, or is that the right way to say that?
The art of the possible.
Yeah, the art of the possible. I'm going to support this, especially the part of it about the bill that does force a little smidgen, a tiny bit of fiscal responsibility and discipline in this process, and takes 1% of the new fund balance and puts it in the rainy day fund moving forward. I hope that we can get this into the statute, at some level, at some point in time. I look forward to having discussions with future legislatures about increasing that 1% to what I would consider a more reasonable level of maybe 2 or 3%. So we're actually forcing more fiscal discipline and fiscal responsibility as it relates to this body saving money for that inevitable downturn that may be closer than we all think.
Thank you, Senator Starr. So the motion on the table, and it was Senator Walker for Senate Bill 48A engrossed as amended, be reported back to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. I note objections from Representative Morgan and Representative Jensen. Are there any other objections? Okay, the motion carries.
Mm-hmm. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
If I might suggest, I would carry both bills at the full, but I would ask respectfully that the chair confer both with the co-chairs and the chair of the Senate Revenue Committee to determine carriers on the floor, so that we can defer that decision. I'll carry to the full. And
okay, so Senator Devlin will carry.
And then if we
both, the will carry both.
To the full. I would ask that you concur with the co-chairs and the Senate Revenue Chairman in terms of a carrier on the Senate floor.
On the Senate floor. And how about Representative Barnhart? Would you carry this?
I'd be happy to carry.
Representative Jensen, you've been doing so much heavy lifting. And Representative Barnhart, I think, as a Revenue Committee person, would be a great choice.
I'll be happy to carry it for both bills on the House floor, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Assuming, of course, we get that far.
The art of the possible.
The art of the possible.
All right, so noted. So with that, close the work session and close today's hearing. Thank you very much.
And go home and go to bed now.